You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Do you mind if I go back to talking to this John? Can you mind if I play this John Elway sound? Oh, go ahead. Okay. Hey, I'm John Elway. Get your damn politics out of my sports. Also, I love you, Neil Gorsuch. That was John Elway. Verbatim. Direct audio. Straight from the horse's mouth.
Hello. What a joke. Swish.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Radio 810, Almost Entirely Sports, here with you for a little while longer tonight here on 810, and we are looking ahead to a divisional rivalry game that has a very different connotations this time through, as the Chiefs are hosting the Broncos. Quarterback position has changed for Denver, and it is extremely interesting for a whole variety of reasons. We'll get the opposing perspective here right now with Will Peterson. You can follow him on Twitter at PetersonWill, P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N. I'm sure that never gets misspelled, Will. And you can catch him on 9 News in Denver, all throughout the 9 News umbrella of stuff. Thank you, Will, for joining us. And how exciting, how electric, how much has your life changed in the Drew Locke era? Now 2 full games in.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. And clarifying the S-E-N on Peterson, that is always a tricky one. I'll say this, Drew Locke mania has taken Denver over, and I don't think we've seen anything like this in Denver since Tim Tebow. Now, I'm not saying Drew Locke is Tim Tebow. They're completely different players.
Right.
Drew Locke is equipped to be an NFL quarterback for a long time. Tim Tebow certainly was not. But just in the sense of Broncos fans getting caught up in the hype of what it could be, right? With Peyton Manning, it was always very real. But Tebow kind of had that aura to him of, wow, what could this turn into? And with Drew Locke right now, I mean, the amount of people in Denver who call into sports talk radio or whatever who legitimately think this kid is headed for Canton after 2 starts is crazy. And I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying after 2 starts, I haven't felt anything like this in Broncos country since Tebow mania. Broncos fans are that excited about the kid.
If I let you pass judgment here for where you're at, because again, it's 2 games. Like, Daniel Jones was crushing it for a game at the beginning. And then, you know, now I'm obviously biased, but like Patrick Mahomes crushed it for a couple of games and then also continued crushing it throughout his first year as a starter. So whenever you look at the full package that you've seen from him so far, whenever you look at the good and the bad and where he needs to improve and change throughout his career, what's your current expectation level, and then how has that changed from before you saw him throw a ball as a professional?
Well, I'll tell you this. We haven't seen anything like this in Denver since Peyton Manning retired. I mean, Drew Locke can make throws that Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, the list goes on and
Murderer's
on.
Murderer's Row, too.
Yeah, could not God. Make. I mean, Drew Locke is the 7th starter since Peyton Manning retired after winning Super Bowl 50, which is hard to believe. But I would say from my position, he's the first guy that can make all the throws, again, that we haven't seen here in 4 years. So that's kind of what I have to base it off of. Now, the fact that Drew Locke's outperforming Paxton Lynch, it doesn't mean that Drew Locke's going to win the AFC West next year.
Right.
But it also means that John Elway may have finally found his quarterback. And he said he was going to keep swinging and keep shaking all the quarterback trees until one of them fell out, and he may have finally found one in Drew Locke. So I think that's the more sense of relief of, okay, did Elway finally, lucky number 7, you know, John wore number 7 in his playing career, is lucky number 7 Drew Locke going to finally be the solution? So from what I can observe, he's much better than the other 6. I don't know if that means a ton, but at least it's a breath of fresh air for Broncos fans.
And, I mean, like, it's absolutely, the excitement and everything, totally valid. Like, I do not need fans to be super rational about finally having a guy who looks like he could be that quarterback. But on the Elway front, like, I also have no real interest in being like, aha, yes, Elway finally did the quarterback thing. It only took him a scattershot of just trying, like you said, shaking every tall quarterback tree that he could find since Manning retired. Has this done anything? And again, we're two games in. Like, I know. But has this done anything in Denver in terms of patience with John Elway? Because it seemed like that fire had gotten relatively hot around him for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John Elway was sort of running out of chances with Broncos country in terms of people having patience with him and him being the savior and in John we trust and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, he needed to hit on Drew Lock. It was about darn time from fan interest. And also, you know, I know you had me on your show before and we've talked about the ownership situation and how messy that is. But it's always been unclear if John Elway truly has a boss right now since the Broncos don't have an owner. Technically, president and CEO Joe Ellis would be his boss. But could Joe Ellis have fired John Elway? That's still not abundantly clear. So was he in danger of losing his job? I don't know. But from a public perception standpoint, he absolutely needed, and I will say needs, Drew Lock to work out. Great two starts, as you mentioned, but it's two starts. You know, if he goes and lays an egg in KC this weekend and throws three picks and they lose by 25 points, we're going to say, well, maybe it was a little bit of a mirage, and then John's right back on the hot seat. Again, maybe not literally for his job, but in terms of public perception in Denver, frankly, of how good a general manager he is. So this is a huge step for John Elway, but he better hope that these last three games continue in this direction, and then he'll have a much easier offseason, assuming the Broncos don't have to go into the draft looking for a quarterback and can address other positions that they have needs at.
Hey, Will, this is Rudy. You know, I find it interesting you talking about John Elway needing a young Mizzou graduate to, like, really, you know, get things going, and otherwise he could lose his job. So I'm just curious, how big of a role does Michael Porter Jr. play for the Nuggets this year?
Rudy, I almost cursed at you. So hold. Will,
ahead,
this is thank you. This isn't your fault.
This is
Will.
A serious question.
I'm sure.
People
and here's
KC
the thing.
Want to know.
Here's the thing. I have
a local kid.
You're right. It is. But the fact that we've gotten like two good Broncos questions, mm-hmm. I wonder if it was going to follow up with the ownership, and Rudy and all of his Nuggets fandom
followed up very well. I agree.
Followed up, yeah, just seamlessly to talk about a different.
Go ahead,
Will. Will, I'm sorry.
I will answer the question, Rudy. That is fine because
Thank
it's
you.
A popular topic.
Yes.
Of course, for Mizzou fans and grads, and also for Denver Nuggets fans, it has been one of the biggest mysteries why Michael Malone has not been willing to give Michael Porter Jr. consistent minutes, even when he says in front of hot microphones all of the time, I've got to get the kid in the rotation, I've got to see him play, I've got to see what we've got there, and then he'll randomly disappear. You know, he'll check in for a first quarter, play five or six really solid minutes, and then won't get any run in the second half, and no one can exactly figure out why. I think the latest with Michael Porter is that he finally has cracked the rotation consistently. And I got to be honest with you, Rudy, I think that was probably an order from the top, whether that came from as high as Stan Kroenke, or it came from Josh Kroenke, or it came from president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly. I think someone got in Michael Malone's ear and said, we have to play the kid and see what we have, because the Nuggets are a really good team, but they're not a championship team unless Michael Porter develops into what we think he can develop into, because that would be the piece that could get him over the top to win an NBA title.
Can you say the part about not being a championship team again, just because I don't know if – I think Rudy's headphones cut out.
I mean, I didn't really hear that, but you know, it's fine.
I mean, said it verbatim.
As currently constructed, I think their ceiling is probably the Western Conference semifinals, mostly because of what the Lakers and Clippers represent. I think Michael Porter Jr. would have to turn into something very special for the Nuggets to be able to beat either one of them in a seven-game series.
So we got this. So we're good. We're good.
the fact that it's Mizzou related, Rudy, I take back some of my rage. I'll give you a 50% win on that one. You mentioned the Broncos ownership, and like you said, last time you were on with us, the understanding of how far that affected the team genuinely surprised me. Like, realizing that ownership isn't, in this instance especially, isn't just this sort of satellite just roaming around the actual planet of the football product here was really, really interesting. And I know there's been a little bit of movement as far as ownership goes, and I'm also certainly not the expert on it. So what's different now, and what is the state of that with the Broncos, with the ownership, and then how much it's affecting the day-to-day in your eyes?
Yeah, well, I believe the last time we talked was last spring, and sadly, the biggest change is that Pat Bowlen has passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat Bowlen did pass away this summer. Now, he wasn't the acting owner on a day-to-day basis. He still owned the team, but he had given up control to the three-person trust, but he was still alive. So, when Joe Ellis, the president and CEO, addressed ownership, he would always say, well, we're just honoring Pat's wishes as he focuses on his health. And now that Pat is no longer with us, there's been some more movement on that front with Pat's oldest children sort of saying that the trust is not honoring their father's wishes, because when he put the team in the trust, the Alzheimer's had incapacitated him so much that he wasn't exactly aware of what he was doing. So it's obviously a very sad situation, and a situation that is, we tread lightly with because it's delicate. But the reality of the situation is this. The breakdown is that the three-person trust is either going to sell the team or give it to the 29-year-old Brittany Bowlen. Now, I'm 29. I can't imagine inheriting an NFL team in my 20s or early 30s, as Brittany Bowlen could very well do. But the problem is Brittany Bowlen is a child from Pat Bowlen's second marriage. Beth Bowlen Wallace is a child from his first marriage, who is in her late 40s, has gone to law school, appears to be much more qualified for the job, and is saying, why are you focusing on my little sister, half-sister, stepsister, who's 20 years younger than me, as opposed to me? And that's where the litigation comes in. Beth Bowlen Wallace realizes she is not going to be handed the team, so she is suing right now to try to get the three-person trust essentially disassembled and make arbitrators in our court system decide who the next owner is going to be, take the power away from Joe Ellis and the other two members of the trust. But for now, it looks like the team will either be sold or given to Brittany Bowlen, who's 29 years old, and the only, use a bad football term, chance Beth Bowlen Wallace has is this Hail Mary of trying to get this thing sorted out in the court system. And this case will go to trial, it looks like, some point next year.
I'm sure you've had to explain that an ungodly number of times, but I do want to just say, that's an excellent explanation of circumstances that I understood about 2% of before that. Now I feel I'm at a nice workable, like, 50%. Like, I feel like I kind of know what's happening. So it's fascinating. Like, in kind of a perverse way, I guess. Like, but that's just, there's so many moving pieces, and everything is, like, it makes sense. Why would you give it to the 29-year-old? I don't know what Pat Bowlen was thinking. I don't know the state of his health or how he decided where the team was supposed to go. Like, it just, there will be lawyers, I understand, but it just seems like such an understandable, incomprehensible web to unravel. Is there any timeline for what you can expect or what you guys are expecting in terms of decisions being made there?
Well, the thing is Brittany Bowlen, the 29-year-old, just got a job with the Broncos as recently as about a month ago. She's working on the business side of the operation. She had previously worked for them, and then she has returned to the team. So at least Brittany is back as an employee of the Broncos for now, as they quote-unquote groom her to eventually give her full controlling ownership of the franchise. That said, the reports have been that it's a five-year timeline for Brittany Bowlen to be ready to take this team over. Now, is this thing going to sit in a trust for five more years as they groom Brittany Bowlen? I don't think Roger Goodell and the NFL are going to go for it. So that's where it gets a little tricky, is say Goodell tells Joe Ellis, by the end of next season, you either sell this thing or you give it to Brittany. Well, what is Joe and the trust going to do? Are they going to say after 1 year, 30-year-old Brittany Bowlen is ready to take over? Or are they just going to say, you know what, let's just go get our $2.6 billion for this thing?
Yeah.
Pat Bowlen had seven kids. Math ain't my expertise, but I think that's about $320, $350 million each. And wouldn't the seven kids just be happier to take their Powerball jackpot and move on with their lives? So that is another aspect of all this, is there's no way I can see Brittany Bowlen being groomed for 5 years and the trust waiting five more years before they give her the team. I would have to think the league would force their hand. And again, this looming trial with Beth Bowlen Wallace suing the trust, essentially, could throw a wrench into all of that as well.
I do want to point out, and sometimes people can improve on things faster than the expectation. So the expectation for Brittany is 5 years. Just like I think the expectation for Nikola Jokic was after a couple years, he'll be ready to take over this
Rudy!
Team. And by 20, he's 24.
Rudy!
And by 23, he was.
Turn off your
all
own microphone.
NBA first team. That's all I'm saying. How are you surprised at all about how quickly Nikola Jokic became the best center in the NBA?
You don't have to answer that, Will.
I'll give you a brief answer. I am very surprised, obviously. You know, there was a Taco Bell commercial on ESPN when Nikola Jokic was drafted. You can Google that. Legitimately, they flashed on the bottom. Nuggets take Nikola Jokic 42nd overall as a cheesy gordita crunch or roll-up or whatever was being advertised. So, yes,
his
to go from Taco Bell commercial while you were drafted to best center in the NBA is a leap. Now, that said, he was absolutely the best center in the NBA in April and May when his playoff numbers were off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
He has taken a bit of a step back this year, and I think some people would argue that Joel Embiid, although he's taken a step back as well, is the better player at the moment. Something a little funny is going on with Nikola Jokic. I trust he'll sort it out, but he is absolutely not the same player right now for the Nuggets that he was 6 months ago. He's still great, but he's not playing at that all-NBA or MVP level that a lot of media and Nuggets fans expected him to be at.
I can't disagree with that.
Do you think that what really happened was that he was crushed by the weight of realizing he was the seventh best player on the Serbian national team, which is why he only was, I think, seventh in minutes for that team? Do you think that finally got to him?
Yeah, maybe. And speaking of Taco Bell, Nikola didn't do himself any favors showing up 20 pounds overweight and out of shape to start this season as well. So a little bit of both. I think as he gets back into shape, that will help his game, because anyone who's seen him run knows it's more of a lumbering type style than a gifted athletic run. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of a trot. You know, it's kind of a horse trot. It's not full out sprinting. There's some the hooves are coming off the ground.
Speaking of horses, he owns horses. He's a big horse guy. He likes to race.
He is a big horse guy, yes. He has horses back in Serbia. He does.
Was that a question, Rudy, or are you just wanted
fun
to...
Fun fact.
All right, great. If you ask another Nuggets question, I'm going to walk out of the studio.
Okay.
We're talking to Will Peterson of 9 News in Denver. You can follow him on Twitter at PetersonWill. That's a T for Peterson, and then it's all E's the rest of the way through. You can figure it out. Just search Will Peterson 9 News, and if you spell it wrong, Google will fix it for you. Let's go specific to the game this weekend. Obviously, the Drew Lock is what Broncos fans are watching, but really what Chiefs fans are watching when the Broncos are out there as well. But whenever you look at the thing that the Broncos do best right now, and with what you've seen from the Chiefs this year, is there something where you say, you know what, the Broncos have a chance if they blank?
I think if they can outscore the Chiefs and win a shootout. I mean, I think that's the way they win this game. You know, they go down to Houston last week, put up 38 points, and beat a very good Texans team 38-24. Their defensive line is really beat up. Their secondary isn't the no-fly zone that it was 4 years ago. I think their chances of beating KC this weekend are a shootout. I think, you know, 38 was the number in Houston last week. I would set it at 35 this week to really have a chance win a 35-31 type game. That said, I understand the weather forecast isn't real pretty. It looks like it could snow during the game. I don't care. Mahomes and the Chiefs offense is that good. They just played in Foxborough in the cold last weekend. They're used to it. I pin the Chiefs for 30-35 points in this game. Drew Lock better get ready. He's going to have to throw for another 3-4 touchdowns for the Broncos to have any shot at all to win this football game.
Also, you mentioned the Texans game. I don't know how we got this far into this conversation without my one and only question from that game for you. What the hell?
What the hell in a good sense or a bad sense? Because the Broncos, and it was a good one.
Sure. No, I mean, what did the Broncos do? Like, that I was sort of, you know, watching that game out of the corner of my eye, and it was always stunning to me what I was watching.
Yeah, you know, I think the Texans had a little bit of a Patriots hangover, and they've got two huge games with the Titans coming up, basically with the AFC South on the line. I think it's the very classic. They just overlooked Denver. They didn't think Denver was anything special. They kind of rolled out of bed, went to the stadium, and they were down 38-3 early in the third quarter. I mean, 38-3. Wrap your mind around that.
It's crazy.
I think the Broncos offense really, for the first time, just said, screw it. Excuse my French, but screw it. Let's just go out, chuck the ball around the field and see what happens. And Drew Lock, boy, did he chuck the ball around the field. He hit something like 9 different receivers in the first half. All 3 of his touchdown passes two of the three touchdown passes were absolutely wide open. You or I could have made the pass. The Texans just didn't show up to play. Now, I'm not trying to take too much away from the Broncos, but the Texans looked like a really bad football team, and the Broncos looked like they surprised them. Yeah. I don't think the Chiefs will make the same mistake this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think scoring points is going to be the key in this game, and I think when you have a front line like McKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog, like, I mean, they're leading the NHL in goals per
what
game.
What are we doing?
I mean, they're the best line in the NHL right now.
Is that
right?
An Avalanche question?
Yes.
I was hoping Rudy would get to the Avalanche.
Boy, how do you not get to the Avalanche? They're amazing.
Yeah, they're currently Denver's best team. I think the latest odds in Vegas have them as the second highest to win the Cup, just behind the Boston Bruins. They've passed your neighbors to the east, the St. Louis Blues. The team's electric. It's so exciting, and you mentioned it. It starts up front with that McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog line that, you know, has kind of been decimated a little bit because of injuries. But
finally healthy.
The one constant, though, has been Nathan MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid is such a treat to watch on a nightly basis. He's unbelievable. He's the best player in the NHL, in my opinion. He almost won the Hart Trophy 2 years ago. I know guys like McDavid are having great years, too, but watching Nathan MacKinnon on a night-in and night-out basis is a treat, and I definitely think he should be the NHL's MVP. And there's a real chance the Avalanche hoist the Stanley Cup this year, as crazy as that sounds, but with those three, as long as they stay healthy, I really think a championship appearance and ultimately winning it all is very much in the realm of possibility.
You said they've been electric this year. So will be the taser that I put to Rudy's neck in the commercial break. Thank you. Thank you, Will, for all of the very helpful, relevant, great Broncos analysis, and also for answering Rudy's questions. I promise next time we have you on, it will not happen again.
No worries, fellas. Happy to do it. Take care.
It's Will Peterson. You can follow him on Twitter at PetersonWill. You can follow all of his work at 9 News in Denver. I need to either go lay down or go make very loud noises.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
This isn't exactly how I phrase it, but this is the more concise way for me to be saying this. This show's better when I prepare more.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Duh?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
My microphone! Turn my mic on, please. Thank you. What happened, Beards? Be honest.
Button got stuck.
Like I said, push the button sometimes.
I was doing my autopilot. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Sports Radio 810. I had a bit I was going to say, and then it got all thrown off. Welcome back on the Sports Radio 810. Almost Entirely Sports, the only show in the Kansas City area currently doing the show with a Marcus Peters signed cleat on the console.
Heck yeah.
This is our brand. You know what this is? This is my glass slipper. When will I truly love another cornerback again for the Kansas City Chiefs? Whenever they put this cleat on and it fits them perfectly.
Oh, a size 16 cleat.
I need a cornerback with a size 16 foot. This is not at all what I intended to talk about when we came back. But did you guys read Sam Ellinger's Tre'Varius Ward story from a few weeks ago?
I have not read it
yet. Got two notes.
Yeah,
got
no, two.
You can't say. I don't think you have it open in a tab somewhere. Like, oh, I'm getting to it.
No. It's not that. I'm saying, like, yeah,
you didn't.
I know.
You didn't
it's,
read
it's
it.
Bad
you
by
didn't
me.
Read
did
it,
read
and
it.
You weren't planning on it. But now I'm shaming you, and so now you both should.
Yeah.
It is, and I'm telling everyone this. Like, this is gonna be a little PSA. If you read it, you get it. It is great. It is an excellent, just like you can hear long conversation with Tre'Varius Ward, and I think also his mom Mellinger must have talked to his mom directly. It's a really good story. And part of it is a story that I think we can be a little bit desensitized to in terms of, like, hard upbringing, didn't have money. Like, it's a story that you've probably heard before on some level, mm-hmm. but it's told really well. The specifics of it are really good. And, like, also, every once in a while, maybe you get desensitized to an athlete having a I thought about quitting story. Lots of athletes end up having that. I would think that you could get most people to say that at some point, every successful person, you mm-hmm. can say, oh, there was a moment I thought about quitting it all and going and doing something else with my life. Tre'Varius Ward had that moment from the story from Mellinger, he had that moment in training camp this year. Like that, where he was coming into the year as a guy competing for number one snaps, not to be revisionist, like whenever they signed Mo Claiborne, he said, like, he knew that Claiborne was signed to replace him. And I don't actually think that was probably the intention from Veach and company. Mm-hmm. But he was on some new medication. It's seriously just a fascinating story. And it also starts by him dunking on Bob Sutton. So if none of the other stuff gets you to the article, the Bob Sutton little, it's a very, very polite dunk. But he basically just declines to talk about Bob Sutton. Yeah. Like Mellinger asks, he says, I'm not going to talk about Bob Sutton.
Here's the thing. Like,
it's a really good story.
I don't think anybody can argue that it was time to move on. Like, even Andy Reid this week was kind of talked about him.
From Bob
like
Sutton?
You said, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. Remember he got asked, so really quick. He got asked about Steve Spagnuolo and the fact that he took a year off and if that helped or whatever. And before Andy Reid would even talk about Steve Spagnuolo, he started off, first of all, I said this every time, I think Bob Sutton's a great coach.
Mm-hmm. But like, I think even like I think Andy Reid would agree. Like this was obviously the right move. Like it was time. Like right, like,
yeah.
It was obviously time. And so I don't think anybody can like at this point like any player like it was clear from day one, like from very early in OTAs and stuff, that the players like Steve Spagnuolo more.
Yeah, and we got that from Ward. We got that from Hitchens. Yeah. Legit in mini camp. Mm-hmm. This, I mean, I know this is something, this is what I've been, just keep up everybody, I've been feeding a fed horse on this one since legit minicamp, mm-hmm. but in minicamp, it was better teacher, better system, easier system, and all of that, just
better
like, and not said, like, bleep Bob Sutton, he got no, Super Bowl, yeah. Just, like, very honest, like, hey, this is better for everybody, mm-hmm. and I think that's
I think early in Bob Sutton's tenure as the defensive coordinator, the Chiefs defense did some good things. Like I think those first couple years, like they did some things where you're like, okay, like I don't think Bob Sutton's like a like some dumb idiot out here or anything. I think he knows football, but like it was obviously time. Like the players,
I don't think he does.
Beards, I need you to save that from Rudy and then just cut out the word don't, or just bleep it. You can even bleep it just for the sake of. Context. So real quick, I just pulled up the article again. Like it's a really good story about Charvarius Ward. Mm-hmm. But it starts out with talking about Brady's pass for a first down, and then six plays after that the season ended.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a little rub route, I guess. And I guess Mellinger asked him about it. And Ward said, I knew that was coming, Ward says, but I couldn't do nothing about it. Mellinger writes, Ward means he could not stop it because how he and his teammates were coached. The Patriots had run the exact same play on a third down earlier in the drive on the other side of the field. Edelman split wide left, motioning toward Dorsett in the slot, his route aided by a rub, the pass completed for a first down. Quote, so I knew it was coming, Ward continues. I couldn't do nothing about it because I was told to stay down. If they would have been like, nah, 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 let's in and out, it would have played out differently. If they kick a field goal, miss or make it, Pat Mahomes goes down and scores a touchdown and we win the game and win the Super Bowl. I was instructed to stay down, but I could have told Fuller, man, let's in and out, because the same thing happened the other side.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, I'm not here for the Marcus Peters conversation, but like, remember when people got mad about how Marcus Peters freelanced in Bob Sutton's system too much? Charvarius Ward is now kicking himself
for not
almost a year later for not freelancing with Kendall Fuller to change the call because Sutton was wrong.
Mm-hmm. We can even talk about that with
powerful.
With Chris Jones last year, I don't know how many times I heard. Well, you can't pay the guy because he freelances too much. Well,
I heard it a lot. I heard that a lot.
Like maybe there was a reason why he was freelancing.
Yep.
Like, and that's not the first player. Like, it was on your podcast, Times Hours
on theathletic.com.
Seth talked about this, how he had an interaction with a Chiefs player who basically told him he was put in a lose-lose situation on a specific play.
Yep.
Like. Seth basically said, hey, this guy did bad here, and the player responded with, hey, the reality is, I'm essentially saying the same thing Charvarius Ward. Like, hey, there's nothing I can do in this situation. I'm in a lose-lose situation because this is what I've been told to do, and whatever I do now, I'm just, like, no good is coming from this.
Well, last thing from Ward here. I said, but I'm the one that's playing. I still could have overruled that and told Fuller, let's work together. And another pause. Bob was ... man. One more pause. I ain't going to say nothing about that. Like, I think... the tone here, and also just because whenever Tre'Davious Ward is, I've never talked to him one on one, but I've been around him in some relatively casual locker room conversations and at training camp and everything. I heard that all those quotes from him, and also this article is again from like a couple of weeks ago. So I don't, just the fact that we're here is kind of random, but I read that as like just like pain in his voice, just sadness.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's ill will anywhere in the locker room for Bob Sutton, but and one thing this brought up, it also allows me to plug something on 810WHB.com. You don't even have to leave the 810 ecosystem for some great content in all forms. I had an article go up today. It's a blog, and I'm gonna try to do it every Friday. I'm on vacation next week, so probably not next week, but every Friday I'm gonna do a Friday AMA.
Vacation. It takes a lot of vacations.
Really? Do I? I don't think this is the longest one that I'm going to have taken in a while because
your most recent one
vacation days run out.
It's what have you done for me lately?
That's a good point.
What have you done for me lately business?
That's true. And what I've done for you lately apparently is take a vacation next week. That's fair. Tough but fair already. But
just like that cleat. I didn't really play.
I don't really know what you did there. That didn't really make sense. On HB.com right now, you can see my Friday AMA. Ask me anything. We're gonna do little mailbags basically, but I'm calling them AMAs because I'm a Reddit boy.
It's a good thing. I like it.
It's unique and it's a little Reddit stealing. But somebody had just, it wasn't even a question. They just said something to the extent of like, I'm thinking about this defense this year and what could have been last season. Yeah. And it was just like one of those screaming GIFs. I can't remember which one it was. I just remember anger.
Nobody should hurt themselves like that. Don't think about it.
If I could give the slightest silver lining offer, the fact that this year's defense feels so solidly, definitively good that you can look back to last year like wistfully and think, man, if this year's defense would have been on that year's team, they would have definitely won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
They would have flirted
really
with undefeated. Like they would have flirted with an undefeated season.
Yeah, because they're not losing in games. The Chiefs' offense puts up 40 some points.
The only game that still might have been
50
points.
I say the only game that might have been like decently tough was my thought would maybe have been that Rams game because Rams' offense last year was also just absurd.
You're right.
But like,
that's true.
That would have probably been still been their toughest game.
Yeah.
But like they with this
and also
defense,
the offense, the Chiefs' offense had a lot of blame to take even then because turnovers and stuff.
That might have been that's the only game I can think of to where if they had this defense that maybe they lose. And again,
but
I'm
they're
not
certainly
they would.
They're certainly still the one seed. They beat the Patriots and they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now the thing about that is that was a bandwagon that I was on. You mentioned The Athletic. I had a column there. It was my first one back. I think it was right before the Titans game. So I looked like a dope for about an hour in there and then I was right again. The Chiefs defense has been what you asked it to be this year. And it's been that all season. The Titans game had the worst drive for the defense. But the offense had a chance to put that game away earlier. And this is a team that right now is going to need some help from either the Bengals or Bills, I think, right now, to get a first-round bye in the playoffs. And yet, the defense has been more than what you would have asked from last year's team. And the whole point of this offseason was give me a defense that is good enough to let this offense go win a Super Bowl. I mean, you touched on this earlier, Rudy, and I mentioned it off the top. Like, this is 2 weeks in a row that I'm kind of more excited for the Chiefs defense to be on the field than the Chiefs offense. Last week, it was to kind of prove something. This week, it's to stop the new hot firepower. And for the rest of the season, there's going to be elements of that. The defense needs to keep proving itself. But it has done that so far, and it's been also like straight up fun to watch and not the pain that it was last year, which means that whenever we can speak this highly of a defense that last year we spoke so lowly of, the offense is the thing that hasn't been as good, and it hasn't stunk.
No.
I think it's third in offensive DVOA.
Mahomes has 21 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Is that as good as last year? No, but like it's 21 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Like he's been unbelievable. Like he's had injury issues, he's had pressure issues, he's been really good. Like
And, the running game hasn't been very good this year. And again, the offense has been very good. I'm gonna try to find you some of the specific advanced analytics that I think are really interesting for quantifying all of this.
I'm looking at their schedule. Buy you some time when you look.
I got it whenever you're ready.
Chiefs' first loss was to the Colts. That was 19-13. Defense did the job.
1,000%. Yeah. 180 yards on the ground. What was the score?
19-13. Even in these other games where teams scored over 30, that loss to the Texans was 31-24. Offense had a chance to win that game for you.
Yep.
Like, defense had bad moments.
The
didn't play
offense
bad.
Won the Lions game. The Chiefs' defense was not very good there, and the Chiefs had to come back late. Yep.
Lost against the Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just did some Aaron Rodgers things. Yep. There's not a lot you can do about that.
Yeah, and you had Matt Moore.
Yeah. Lost to the Titans. Offense had a chance to win that game. So, like, yeah, were there some bad moments by the defense? Sure. But, like, I don't, like, every defense is going to have those moments throughout the season. Like, the Patriots defense is really good. They've had really bad drives. Like, that's happens.
So would you agree that Patrick Mahomes has been underwhelming this season? Plagued by injury.
Yeah.
Plagued by injury. Had the pocket skittishness, all of that. Would you say that he's been underwhelming this year?
Yeah, a little.
I would. Yeah. He hasn't been the MVP. It hasn't been 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, mm-hmm. even the pace accounting for injury, right?
And even if he came down, I was still expecting like 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. He's not going to hit that.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's, yeah.
He is first in quarterback DVOA. He is second in QBR. He is second in EPA. He's 11th in EPA plus CPOE, which I can explain later if everybody's feeling nasty. But like, this offense hasn't been overwhelming. And again, I believe that this offense is third in DVOA this year, which by DVOA, if you're not way into it, it's a catch-all stat, and catch-all stats are imperfect. I mean, all stats are imperfect. But it's a catch-all stat that accounts for context and situation and opponent. And if you're going to try to use one stat to explain a lot of things, DVOA is a good place to go.
You know what stat isn't imperfect?
I think I know what he's going to say, because I think
points scored.
Oh, no, different.
Do you think it's rings?
I didn't have a point. I just want to throw that out.
I was going to say quarterback wins. Say wins are the perfect stat. You play to win the game. In all seriousness, the problem with the offense this year has been injuries. Like that's what largely a lot of this comes down to. Like, injuries have kind of thrown off.
Yeah, that's
offense.
No fun though, because I can't blame anybody. I can't fire anybody for that. Fire the training staff. If I can't angrily fire somebody, I don't want to hear about it.
Tyreek Hill has basically only played in not even really a full seven games. Like, he's played in.
Why am I getting the slow zoom on Facebook?
It was more just like the madness was seeping in. That was all.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's good.
The madness is sinking in. What was the mad about again?
Injuries. Oh, you can't fire anybody because of injuries.
I can't fire anybody that's just because they get hurt. I need someone to blame, damn it. That's all. I'm pretty congested still. Nobody's have anything? We're good? We're good here? All right, let's take a break. I need to call a timeout so I can blow my nose. Rudy is coughing. I'm congested. Beards is just watched the end of Lakers.
I saw the end of it already. It ended.
I know. I said you watched the end of Lakers Heat. He has no idea what he spent the last 5 minutes of the show on until he had a chance to come in and say wins.
I wrote down break soon again.
Seriously?
No.
Oh, okay.
Beers told us in the last commercial break that he, the notes that he takes for like podcasting purposes or whatever, I guess. I don't know. Now Rudy does those though. So what are you, for file naming?
He just kind of, he names the file.
He just writes down, he just writes down some words.
And
I
take a picture
about.
Because it has like the time marks and stuff on it. So
that's true.
If I look later.
So he usually just writes down, you know, Drew Lock, Chiefs Broncos.
I wrote down, Chiefs
Marcus
defense.
Peters, Cleat. But last hour at one point, instead of telling me and Rudy that we needed to get out for a commercial to occur, he wrote down, just for himself, I guess, break soon.
I don't know how that happened.
Something tells me it had something to do with orange basketball.
I mean,
right?
For sure.
I think that's how that happened.
It's like you're watching Animal Planet, and then somebody walks by and is like, hey, what are you feeling for dinner tonight? Like, I don't know, giraffe. I was also going to say giraffe. The whole bit of that was for me to say giraffe.
We've done this show too much together.
Why did you say giraffe also?
Because we've done this show too much together.
All right, the good news is it's time for a commercial break. The bad news is Clippers and T-Wolves is coming on TV, so it's still just me and Rudy. Beards is just floating around. Beards, you need a break soon.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hey, Google. Text Beards and tell him that we need to take a break.
These are the top results.
Damn it.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Danny is here. Danny Wilniak is with us right now. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
She's here for the whole next hour. We didn't just have her in for a four-minute segment. That would have been pretty funny.
Okay, let's just get right to the bucks.
I really was very TV of us, I guess.
I mean, yeah. I was going to say, you and I speak for about 4 minutes on television,
yeah,
so
that's
that
true.
Would be very normal in my
hey,
world.
Hey, very quickly, Rudy and Danny, would you two scoot together a little closer for Facebook purposes?
We got to get this camera in.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, more camera.
Your life never leaves camera.
No,
sorry,
it doesn't. It's
that's
okay.
That's your whole life now.
I embrace it.
Now I gotta move. What?
Yeah.
This is okay. This is all just. How is this? Beards? Is this good? You can watch the show on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. Now, what's that supposed to mean? You can watch the show on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page, and you can see all of us in the studio at any given point. Sometimes, and
that's cardio snow.
And we have set up for Danny Wilniak. She is here with us now, and for the next hour, she's rearranging our mascots. Where is this microphone supposed to go?
Terrible. I just want to make sure they can see your Twitter handle.
Yeah, this is terrifying. You want to watch our cardio? Yeah. He's our killer snowman.
This is a snowman who does a thing. Go ahead.
He's just got a ferocious knife.
That's its head moving around disjointedly. It also has a plastic knife in its hand, so it's... It's
cardio
stabbing.
Snow, our killer snowman.
But he's happy.
Yeah, but lots of
like a
of
Joker.
Lots of murderers.
Going on
yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Beards just pointed at like my monitor here. To use your words in this audio medium. Beards, you've worked here for a long time.
I was just letting you know that's what it looks like, so you can arrange the arm.
Look at that.
So that
there's
however
a television
it looks.
Screen.
Why did you?
Look at that.
Why did you have Danny move where she did?
Because
I thought it would work
here,
better
look.
For Facebook.
Apparently,
I'm working on it.
We'll have it figured out by the top of the next hour.
Listen, we usually don't have three people in the studio.
No, but every other show does literally all the time.
It's true.
Like, because we're a bare bones operation doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to figure out all this math. How's your day been, Danny? I have questions I want to actually
Hi.
Ask you. We'll talk about it. Like, again, right now, we're really just... Beards, can we just take a break? Can we take an eight-minute long break and restart at 9?
It's just like the practice. We're
I'm
getting
sorry,
the kinks out of the system.
Off.
Yeah, could you not get here so
it's
early,
practice
please?
Run.
See,
that's
this
exactly
is not
right.
like television because you could show up 10 minutes early and it'd be perfectly fine and mm-hmm. we'd get you through everything all mic'd up and set up and
yeah.
then you're good to go and nope, this is just jump right in.
Here this isn't live, though, so it's good. Like, this is just a practice run. Like, nobody, this is not going on radio.
Rudy, I got to tell you about something this next break. It's going to really change your perception of how radio works.
Oh,
we could have just had Danny sit in the control room with Beards, but like I want Danny to come back.
Oh, I like Beards.
Are you an NBA
Beards.
Fan?
Do you like
the NBA?
Yeah, do you want to watch the first quarter of Clippers Timberwolves with Beards? He didn't even turn his mic.
He just totally.
Oh, my mic was on.
Beard just took a big
part in that.
A big Beard. Swig out of his water bottle and looked at L.A. versus Minnesota.
Listen, those jerseys are nice.
It's 11-7 right now on ESPN.
This is all pre-taped though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all. None of this is live. None of this is. People can literally see us right now to prove this is actually happening. For better or for worse.
I'm thoroughly impressed, though, because I believe this studio started with just the Purple Dolphin, and now you have a whole collection. No, it started with the Possum.
The Purple Dolphin
was
your
started.
Edition.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the Danny Wilniak Memorial Purple Dolphin. She's not dead. She's with us now. So we had Grumpy Cat I think it started with Grumpy Cat.
Okay.
And then Dick Justice the Wiener. Sorry, disgruntled kitten.
Copyright issue.
No, there's no, we're
Rest
not even
peace.
Aware of a Grumpy
R.I.P.
Cat.
Grumpy Cat.
Rest in peace. It's disgruntled kitten and then Richard Justice, the Wiener dog, which lives on Beard's side of the glass, which is a whole other reason that Danny couldn't go in there. Just would have been unfair to share the spotlight with Richard.
I don't know.
And it's expanded now. We have all of our mascots, and also I think I'm gonna super glue a couple of googly eyes on this Marcus Peters cleat. Just call it like Shoey. Or I don't know, something about interceptions.
How's your day been, Danny?
It has been fabulous.
What is it about this cleat that fascinated you? You're
I'm trying to figure out what there's a statement or like a sentence at the bottom. What is that?
It took defensive rookie of the year, 2015.
DROY, yeah. Well, 2015.
2015, he was defensive rookie of the year.
Handwriting right there.
Yeah, he's a, listen, his, wow. he's about pickmanship, not have penmanship.
You, have you also tried to write with hands that big?
I'm sure it's probably difficult.
What was? What did you just do on?
Like you're writing?
Hey.
Like I imagine Shaq with a crayon.
Beards. Make sure the camera's on Rudy while he's mimicking
how you would write.
Draw with big hands. Go and do it again, Rudy. Just for our Facebook audience. What was that gesture? Rudy, for Christmas, we're going to buy you a shake weight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're going to get your
definitely back in style.
Forearms toned. Danny Wilniak against TV5 will continue joining us next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.